Good morning. It's November 1st, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville, Ohio. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I am pastor here at First Presbyterian Church, and I will be leading worship today. Heather Hicks, our Director of Youth and Family Ministries, will be our liturgist this morning. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ. Bev Etling and Todd and Kim Wise are providing special music this morning. Following the service, we will have an especially for children, so be sure to join us a few minutes after this service ends for the especially for children. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we'll know you are here. If you would like to learn more about our church or any of its programs, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling the church office, 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. If you are watching this service live, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers in a Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have a few announcements to share with you. First, the flowers you see right in front of me this morning were given by Bill McCormick in memory of his wife, Sue. Today we are celebrating the sacrament of communion. You are invited to join in with a piece of bread or a cracker and a glass of juice in your own home while I lead the communion liturgy here. You can also forego the communion elements and spend that part of the service in prayer. Our shelter-in-place Bible study will not be meeting this week. We will resume our study of the Old Testament book of Jeremiah next week. If you would like to join in to either our Tuesday morning or Wednesday evening class, please contact the church office. There will be a ladies' tea on Monday, November 2nd, that's tomorrow, at 2:30 p.m. Via Zoom. You may contact the church office tomorrow morning for more information. And next Sunday is Veterans Day at First Presbyterian Church. This year we will read the names of our veterans as part of our worship service. If you would like your name or a loved one's name read, please send the name and the branch of service to the church office or to me by noon on Thursday, November 5th. And now let us begin our worship with our special prelude music.
God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. Great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. So come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, come to the Father. Give him the glory, great things
be called to worship. Today is a day of celebrating. We celebrate the love of God in our lives. Today is a day of remembering. We remember the sacrifices of our Lord Jesus and the power of God who raised Christ from the grave. We remember saints that have gone before us. We remember those who have loved us and taught us and made us who we are today. Today is a day of worship. We worship as children of God. Let us worship God together. Will you pray with me? O God of the past, the future, and the present moment, we lift up our hearts to you. You have surrounded us with the evidence of your loving care, from the sunlight we saw when we awoke this morning to the food we tasted for breakfast, from the sounds of voices lifted up in praise to the touch of a friendly welcome. You are a great and mighty, and you blanket us with love. Teach us how to appreciate your created world and how to recognize your footprints on the path we take. Make yourself known to us in this worship, so that in this time we might find our peace. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Haggai, the second chapter, the first through the ninth verse. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place, I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather. Our second scripture lesson comes from the New Testament book of Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. The Apostle Paul writes, "So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself a new humanity in the place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Here ends our second lesson. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture that we have read this morning. And now we ask that your Spirit work within us and amongst us so that we might come to understand and live these words. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. That was the typical way the worship service started in the church attended by Dr. Guy Nave, professor of religion at Luther College in Iowa. And according to Dr. Nave, the congregation would respond each Sunday with Hallelujah. The exchange was so routine in his church that he never thought about it until he brought a friend to church with him. After the service, the friend asked Dr. Nave why everyone greeted each other as saints. Dr. Nave wrote about the experience this way. I had never been asked that question before and was not really sure how to articulate a response. Like others in the service, I had used the word saints to address my brothers and sisters in the congregation. We who used the title knew what we meant, but it was difficult to explain the meaning to someone who understood the word saint as reserved for people honored and revered for their demonstrations of heroic virtue. Today is All Saints' Day. In early Christian traditions, Saints' Days began as a way to mark the anniversary of a martyr's death, a martyr in the faith, which was, in the thought of the time, that martyr's birthday as a saint. By the middle of the church's first millennium, there were so many martyrs that it was hard to give them all their due. So All Saints' Day was established as an opportunity to honor all the saints, known and unknown. The Christian celebration of All Saints' Day stems from a belief that there is a powerful spiritual bond between those in heaven and the living. In the Catholic Church, All Saints' Day commemorates those who have been recognized by the church for sainthood. In the Protestant Church, the understanding of saints is broader, including those famous in the history and faith, and also those personal saints, like a beloved grandmother or church member. Perhaps because of the Catholic tradition, we tend to view a saint as someone of faith who has died and gone to heaven. We speak of the biblical saints like Saint Peter or Saint Paul. We also speak of the traditional Catholic saints like Saint Augustine or Saint Francis. We will also speak of traditional Catholic saints like those, but we would also include not only the Catholics' thinking of faith, John Calvin and John Knox, are seen as saintly Presbyterians, those whose life helped shape the church and the world. We may even talk about people still living as saints, but we use that term in a reverent way, saying things like, she was a saint to take me to the hospital the other day, or that man is truly a saint for leading our church's building campaign. Like Dr. Nave, the word saint is reserved for people honored and revered for their demonstrations of historic virtue. However, in the New Testament, the word saint is the most commonly used title for Christians, and the root of the word literally means holy ones, and was used to refer to Jesus' followers because they were considered consecrated by God by the atonement of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, proposes a way in which God, through Christ, brings all who believe into unity. This unity is most certainly demonstrated at the communion table, for it is here that we share the one body and the one cup that Christ gives us. Presbyterian pastor Robert Dunham tells a story of an English clergyman who served a small congregation. It was the custom at evening services to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to any of the parishioners who remained at the conclusion of the service. One night, so few stayed that he questioned whether the sacrament should be observed, but he decided to proceed. And then, in the midst of the liturgy, he read the part of the great prayer that says, "Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name." The pastor stopped, and he read that line again. "With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name." And then he prayed, "God, forgive me. I did not realize that I was in such company." Our passage this morning points to this gathering of saints in the presence of the risen Christ, something that the communion table reminds us of, that we are in such company. But we are in such company every time we worship. Although I will admit, having an All Saints Sunday helps to remind us all of this truth. And many churches do just that on this particular Sunday. A couple of summers ago, I learned of a church that makes a small banner for every deceased member of the congregation. And each year, on All Saints Day, they string those banners in the rafters of the sanctuary so that they have a tangible reminder of the company that they keep in the sanctuary. I read of another church, a 350-year-old New England church that celebrated All Saints Day by having the church historian lead part of the worship service. The historian would ask members to close their eyes and picture the generations flowing through that church. He would then describe what the members in the different eras might have been wearing when they went to church. He would have them picture what jobs they were doing in the different eras of their history. He would even have them picture how they tried to stay warm while worshiping in an unheated church throughout those cold New England winters. He would then call on the members to consider how their lives are linked with those of the past, a moment that would often move the members to tears as they considered this broad understanding of the church. Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, speaks of such a unity across time. But he also speaks of a unity in the present moment. Unity in the present moment came in the form of the eradication of divisions. Paul does this because he sees the church as having, as living, the manifestation of unity in God through Christ. Paul's message of unity was radical in its day, as it suggested unity across divisions that were woven into the daily fabric of the life of Jesus' time. There were many divisions that separated people in Paul's day, slaves and free people. Men and women lived completely separate lives. Wealthy and poor were separated. And the most significant division for the beginning church, Jew and Gentile. The early church saw overcoming these divisions to be part of its mandate. Being part of a church means seeking to overcome barriers both within and beyond the church. For Paul, there was an ultimate unity in the church, and it was to work to make that unity a reality on earth as well. As we consider the ways in which we might be called to live up to that same mandate, a spiritual exercise might be helpful. Taking our cue from the New England church, I now invite you to close your eyes and imagine with me, not the generations that have come through this church, but consider our fellow human beings in the here and now. Picture, if you will, your family, those who are near and dear to you. Picture those whom you love and care for. They may be a blood relative, or they may be like family to you. Picture their lives and their struggles. Picture their triumphs. Picture their hopes and their fears. Think of how they are part of the fabric of your life. Think about how those in your family support you, and you support them in this journey of life. Think about how God uses them to strengthen your faith, and how God can use you to strengthen them. Now, keeping your eyes closed, I want you to think of your friends. Think of those whom you like to spend time with, those with whom you enjoy a long conversation, those whom you miss because the pandemic keeps you separated. Think of your friends and picture their lives, their struggles and their triumphs, their hopes and their fears. Think about how you support them and they support you in this journey of life. And think about how God uses you to help your friends grow and come to know God. And think how God uses your friends to encourage the faith that is within you. And now, continuing to keep your eyes closed, think of the people you have seen but don't really know. Those who are strangers to you. Think of the clerk in the store or the couple you passed on the sidewalk, or the person you saw on the news last night. Picture them in your mind's eye. Focus on one of them. Imagine what their life is like, what their triumphs might have been, and what failures they might be trying to overcome. Think about what their hopes might be and what their fears are. Think about how they support you in some way, by providing a service, maybe by just being neighborly, maybe by just being a fellow human being on this planet. And think about how you might support them on their journey of life. Think about how God uses you to help even strangers know God's love, and how even strangers can convey God's love to you and help you grow in faith. Now, this is an interesting exercise, isn't it? How's it going for you? I hope you find it interesting because I want you to do it one more time. Close your eyes again and picture someone else. This time, picture someone you consider your enemy. Picture someone who makes your blood boil. Someone you can't stand, someone who has offended you beyond description, someone who has put you down at work, bullied you at school. Maybe it's a neighbor who can't keep his yard clean, or maybe it's the neighbor who gets on your case for not keeping your yard up to neighborhood standards. Maybe it's somebody who you just can't seem to get along with. Maybe it's someone with a Trump sign in their yard or a Biden sign. Picture that person. See that person in your mind's eye and ask yourself, what are their triumphs and what are their failures? What are their hopes and their dreams? Think about the ways God might use them to help you grow in faith. And think of the ways you might show them the love of God and thus help them out as well. And now picture yourself. Picture yourself as a member of the household of God. Picture yourself as a citizen of heaven. Picture yourself among the saints. Amen. Thank you, Bev. We come together in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. We want to include in that list Holly Harvey on the death of her Aunt Virginia. We offer prayers for Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, who is battling cancer. Janet Withers asks for prayers for all those suffering from the wildfires out west. Kathy Gowan asks for prayers for a friend who is fighting the COVID virus. We pray, continue our prayers for Dorothy Butts's family and friends. Bonnie Moses' son, David, is home from the hospital and doing better, and we're grateful for that. We hold Mary Bricker in our prayers at the death of her sister-in-law. Continued prayers for Eric Fredrickson. Prayers for Chris and Jen Henson at the death of their friend, Nikki. We pray for Betty Gillum, Vicki Moon's mother, as she recovers from a stroke. And for Rob Rankin's sister, she battles cancer. We pray for Cindy, a friend of Glenn and Sharon Carlton's. We continue prayers for Gary Harvey as he continues his cancer treatment. We continue our prayers for the Cameron family, for Elaine Russell's father, who's in hospice care, for Bob Smith, Beth Drislane, and Linda Bixby. And certainly there are many others on our heart, and I ask you to lift them up yourself as we begin our prayer with a period of silent prayers, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord God, hear our prayers. Blessed are you, O God, for you are holy, gracious, and good, the hope of all the faithful. Empower the meek and encourage the poor. Comfort those who mourn and fill humble hearts with gladness. Give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, and peace to the peacemakers. Mercy to the merciful and honor to the despised. Faithful God, source of every blessing, teach us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who persecute us, to turn the other cheek, to share our possessions and to give to those who are in need, and to do to others as we would have them do to us. Sustain your saints in ministry until at last they see their reward, the joy of eternal life with you. On this day, we pray particularly for those whom we have mentioned this morning. We pray that the sick and injured might receive healing. We pray that the grieving might receive comfort and hope. We pray that the weary might receive strength and endurance. We pray that the lost might receive guidance and purpose. We pray that the oppressed might receive justice. We pray that the sinner might receive forgiveness and new life. We pray that all the world might receive your peace. We offer these prayers not only for those whom we have mentioned, but on behalf of all your children, that we might celebrate the saints of this world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So it is that we come before our Lord to have our burdens lifted and our hearts fulfilled. Come, let us share the meal which Christ has invited us. The Lord be with you. hearts, for we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and good to give you thanks, Almighty God. You, O God, created us and have brought your people through many trials. Abraham and Sarah, Miriam and Moses, Deborah and Isaiah, Peter and Mary, St. Francis of Assisi and Julian and Lurch, John Calvin and John Knox, Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa, all attest to your providence and mercy and show us ways to live. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. You came in human form and walked among us, teaching us the way to live as your children. In Jesus Christ, you showed us what holy living looks like and gave us the sacraments to remember and experience anew your presence, encouraging us to live in relationship with you. All blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. In this meal, we give you praise and thanks, Creator God, as we remember all those who have passed on to glory. Pour out your Spirit that this bread may be for us the bread of heaven, and this cup the cup of your new covenant in Jesus Christ. Bind us together by your Spirit as your holy people, strengthened for holy living by this meal. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so it is that on this Sunday we remember. We remember that on Jesus' last night, he went up into the upper room with his disciples and there shared a meal with them. And after having given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we do as Christ commands. We partake of the body of Christ that is symbolized in the bread. Let us together.
Thank you.
loving and all-merciful God, having been joined with you and with all the saints at this holy table, send us now into the world to do the work of your saints in bringing good news to the poor, and proclaiming release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and in setting the oppressed free and in proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Now may you go with the blessings God upon you this day.